Join us for PR Safari, a podcast by Center for Public Relations. PR Safari, your ultimate guide to navigate the complex PR landscape in Africa. Find us at www.cpr.africa.
Hello, my name is Chris Wangalwa. Our guest and guide for this episode is Sally Kahiu. Sally is a strategic communication, external affairs expert, and sustainability champion. She has over 17 years' experience in creating impactful narratives, developing and elevating brands, advocacy communication, building sustainability strategies, and stakeholder relationship management. She is the external affairs lead for Africa at Wild Animal Protection. Sally helps us unlock the untapped potential of communication.
You know how you get off campus? I didn't land into PR and communications. I wasn't as lucky as some. I had to work my way into PR and communications. So I've done diverse things from customer service or customer experience at KQ. I did the human resource at East Africa Portland Cement for a few months. I did real estate and front office duties, etc., until I finally found myself in the world of PR in 2007.
Was it a goal that I want to be at some point into PR and comms? Or you were just going and going until you found yourself in PR?
Everything else was building up to that, because that's what I essentially went to school for. So that's what I imagined myself doing.
And that was Daystar?
Yes, I went to Daystar and I took communications, a PR sequence. So I didn't imagine getting stuck at customer experience like for a long time, because this is what I wanted to practice.
The reason why we ended up talking was because I saw your reaction by way of emoji on one of my posts. And so we began the discussion. And one of the things you mentioned was communication can't exist on its own.
I'm actually surprised that we haven't met face to face until now. It came within an avalanche of words during our conversation, where we were talking about the function of communication and how it's evolved over the years. But I was just saying, if you think about a storyteller, even in terms of how we think about storytellers, are these people who gather us around a hearth and start telling us stories.
Yes.
They tell us stories of things that are existing or of an environment that exists, whether it's fictional or not, but that environment exists, you know. So they can't just tell stories out of nowhere. It can't just come out of a vacuum and tell stories out of something or an idea or a history that does not exist. Something has to exist for you to tell a story about it. So that's what I meant by comms cannot exist in a vacuum. Communications has to be very pivotal to things that already exist. If it's an organization's vision, that's existing. That's probably part of something that comms was part of, but it's in existence, it's tangible, and then now comms can take it and, you know, come up with a story around the vision of the creation of this firm or the building of etc. So that's basically where I was coming from. And just looking at its function, because we were like, it's a supporting function, but it's also more than a supporting function. So it's a supporting function in the way that finance and ops and the MD's office and everyone comes together, and now we need to tell a story about this, and that's where we come in. But it's also very pivotal to be at the center of things and strategies that are being designed, so that then your stories are accurate or your stories are impactful.
There are quite a number of categories here. There's that person who says, a strategy has been developed in my absence. Now I am being asked to communicate. There's that one who says, I sit when the decisions are being made, but somehow they don't contribute.
Yeah.
Or even if they do, they don't bring the communication angle. They just sit there, so they saw people discuss and they have an idea of what's going on. Mm. Then there's the other category that says, hold on guys, whatever you guys are thinking, these are the consequences.
And that is why I'm usually very vocal about the growing role of the chief communications officer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is such a role. It is growing. And for companies that and organizations that understand the function of communications beyond press releases, because the ones who then come and say, oh, here's a strategy, please go and communicate,
yes,
are the ones who still are in the 2000 mm-hmm. mindset. You know, that me, I'll just go and create a strategy and bring it to Chris and be like, yo, find a way to take this out. But companies now, and especially in this very, very uncertain era we are realizing that the chief communications officer is a critical cog in the creative process of everything that they're doing. So they have to be in the creative process. They have to be there. Otherwise, the fallout after you've not included your comms team becomes very massive. And then now you start telling the comms team, oh, look, you're not handling this very well. The reputation risk is not handled well. Well, we didn't know what you were thinking about from the start. So
yes,
how are we going to be the people doing the cleanup? So historically, and I've been in one of those organizations where you get in and people think, oh, head of comms is here. How about you help us print out this banner? So it's historically the perception, and it's up to you when you get into that office to say, no.
So then you have to school them.
You have to school them.
Yeah.
You have to school the entire organization from scratch, because you think you're a professional, so you think these things are obvious and they're known, until you get into organizations and you realize it's actually not that.
But
obvious.
Hold on, there's a job description, isn't there?
There's a person who's hired to write the job description.
Yeah, yeah.
There's, for most of these organizations, and maybe many of them are waking up into the realities of what comms does.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for the past few years, it's just get an HR firm, get somebody to design for you what that JD is. But when they come, you all are shocked. Everyone is shocked. What does she mean? She's not going to help us with that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you have to start doing a policy guide. This is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
This is what our wins look like. This is what talking to the media looks like. This, you know, so all of these things.
Yes.
Like I said, a lot of organizations are now coming into it. And you will also realize some of the most influential leaders are also very good communicators.
Yes.
Even though they are not from a comms background. But you will realize they have lent a lot of credence to the area of communication enough to know to invest a part of their leadership growth in the communication area.
Mm-hmm.
You then realize that a lot of leaders right now, and I'm so glad to see the rise of leaders from this industry, because they understand that, or rather there's an understanding of the function of communication in the creation of the end product.
These leaders, I wonder, by virtue of experience, have they come to appreciate what communication is? Because there are those who are not good at communication. What is this thing that separates these two good communicators and not good communicators?
I think it's just the ability and the willingness to learn and to open up your mind. Because when you get into some of these very, very technical areas, I'm just giving an example of architecture, you will find that this person is a technical expert. Like when it comes to architecture, they're top-notch global architect. But then sometimes when someone is a technical expert like that, they feel like they really don't need these mm-hmm. other skills. I mean, I know my stuff. I can sit in a panel and blurt out statistics and people will acknowledge my genius. And then you find sometimes people don't actually. They're not connecting with you
yeah.
and your expertise, because you've not opened up yourself to the possibilities that there are other things that you can learn
yeah.
outside of your expertise that will help your leadership be the beacon that it needs to be. So you will see the ones that do that, the ones that open up and either work very closely with their comms people. In my experience, any leaders who, especially the ones who can quickly take on challenging conversations or debates, are people who have worked very closely with their comms people
yeah.
and so would know very quickly how to resonate with a certain things. What are the landmines to avoid in a certain conversation? You learn this through constantly being in touch with your comms team or your comms trainer. But
yeah.
it's something that leaders are no longer ignoring now. When you think about the impact of COVID, I know this has been talked about a lot. Face-to-face was removed.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing of micro expressions, I mean, your video will be freezing. Other times you have an avatar of a cat.
Yeah.
And so people so people can't see your face.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will have to learn to rely on other things, your voice, your relatability, your ability to create a story around your technical expertise to bring people in, to draw them into your cause. Why should they care about you when the world is falling apart out there? Why should they care about the soap that you're making? You have to make them care, even though they can't see you.
Quick story. When I used to write for drama and direct, we went to this institution and one of the guests was a blind person. So after the performance, this person said, "I didn't understand a thing."
Mm-hmm.
And from that day, I began writing for two people, the blind person and the deaf person.
Absolutely.
Because then that is when I realized, okay, the blind person doesn't care about TV. They just want to hear you and they want to feel you as much as the person who sees.
Mm.
Reminds me, the other day we went to a media training and this time we just decided, you know what? We've only been doing media training for video. So then we carried our podcast equipment so that we do radio. We did a roundtable sort of panel discussion. The tendency has been in the media training, for instance, that people test you on your body movements.
Yeah.
But it's because it's video.
Yeah.
So then what happens to audio and how do you bring in the emotions bit that you say?
Absolutely.
Before the recording, we had a very interesting little debate around storytelling. And it was to do with a storyteller in the entertainment industry. And good to know we have friends we share, Ruben Odanga and others that you may know. And there's storytelling for the corporate or the organization. And therefore the question is, how different are these two people?
My belief is that we need to expand the idea of storytelling or the definition of storytelling. And why I say that is even in 2005, when I was leaving school, I would not have guessed I would be sitting here doing a podcast. Yeah, mm-hmm. We had KBC. When we were given any assignments to go and talk to practitioners out there, we'd run to KBC, Kijabe Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. The definition of this thing that we call storytelling has also evolved because of the platforms and the tools and the mediums that we are also using to storytell. Therefore, the definition of storytelling cannot remain rigid and bound only to one sector and saying this is only for the entertainments, because we are speaking to different people, we are performing different roles, but the idea is to connect everyone through stories. I love stories because they capture the human experience. So you're capturing the human experience at the same time selling your company's vision or organization's vision. And you need to merge that. That's where stories come in.
Tell me about capturing the human experience. That's an interesting thing. This is how I say it.
Yeah.
As a human being, there are things that I ideally aspire to have.
Mm.
I have aspirations. I have desires. Your organization achieves those desires for me.
Mm.
And so the storytelling has to answer to my aspirations.
Yeah, absolutely. It has to answer to that. It has to connect with you and your feelings and your values, hopefully. It has to stir something in you that is latent. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just need to be shaken up. Is it an anger that you need to feel? Is it an outrage that you need to feel? Is it a certain realization that you need to come to? Because that's the human experience. Learning constantly is the human experience. Mm-hmm. Disagreeing is the human experience. You can also hear my story and be like, I'm not feeling that story.
Yeah.
You know, that's also the human experience. And also as organizations, we have to be alive to that.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes when we speak, not everybody is going to receive our messages, but have the relevant people receive those messages.
We have stakeholders, tech seekers, publics. Not everybody is going to receive our messages.
Yeah.
Is it possible that among those who receive this disagreement, that among the stakeholders, there are those who just don't agree?
Absolutely. And sometimes a win is a win.
Mm-hmm.
And a win in this case is you started a conversation.
As you speak, I saw the need to say this, that storytelling is not enough.
Mm.
Because you could do the whole storytelling as you like, but then the support system and
absolutely.
You know, how has your experience been around that?
Sometimes comms people are the ones left under the bus. You know, you're thrown under the bus. You and your stories.
Yes.
Because you've gone there.
You and your stories.
Yeah, because you've gone there with the intention to tell this story about how this particular person or this particular brand is transforming things, but then they don't follow through.
Yeah.
Yeah? And you've already told your story, and people, your contacts have called, your stakeholders know it's Chris.
Yeah.
You know, the guys in the ministry know, hey, Chris is the one who told us. And you're left there with your story.
People stop talking to you.
Nobody has supported you. But then it just comes back to my earlier statement on the realization or the acknowledgement of the function of communications. Because if you look, and especially at the in the NGO world, a lot of them understand the function of communications. Very rarely will you find those guys leaving their comms under the bus because they realize their stories have to have impact.
Yeah.
The next time a CS is going to listen to me is because he saw whatever I was saying I'll do earlier. I have followed through and I have done it. But I do agree with you that in many instances, stories alone are not... They're not enough. There needs to be follow through. There needs to be stock taking. And then there needs to be further action for that.
Ruth Musembi has this model of effective communication, LIA, listen, inform, act. That action part is very important.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So you can tell your stories and then after that people are like, oh, we don't have money.
Yes.
So why were you telling your comms guy to go and say you will do A, B, C, D? So I think those are some of the challenges that comms people find themselves in, unfortunately.
I want to create something that doesn't exist. This is to say that there's storytelling for the future. I don't know, even before I begin to explain, whether something like that exists. Usually communication does storytelling for what exists, for what the plans are. This is what we have agreed. This is what we are doing. This is the ongoing. This is the mission. But then there is the vision. And there is the unforeseen vision, because you have a ceiling, and then there is, what if you meet your ceiling? Are you going to close the organization? So how does communication come in to help with the unforeseen?
You know, I'm going to take you back to our topic at hand, or the theme that you've chosen for this conversation. And it's going to sound repetitive, but the future also doesn't exist in a vacuum.
That's interesting.
You will agree with me, right? So it's not a future that is just, it's not, you know, red bloody skies and a future that we've...
I noted that you actually love fiction, so that's okay.
I do love it.
I see you taking us in there.
I love sci-fi. But it is a future that is based on a past, that is based on the present. And that is what will inform your leadership as a communications person on the future that you're building to come. So it won't just be coming from nowhere. If it's about an organization, if it's about a brand, if it's even, you know, whatever, it's not existing in a vacuum. It's existing in a place where there's been a present. In 1998, how did this EABL react to? I worked at HACO. HACO has been one of those companies in this country that is long running. And they do take stock. And you'll be surprised at how often, you know? So they do sit down and be like, okay, 1974, this is the vision they had. This is what we did by 2000. This is how the political atmosphere affected.
Yeah.
This is where. So it's not a future that you're just sitting by yourself in your office and developing and building. And remember, you're not doing it alone.
Yeah.
So is it a shared vision of the future?
Reminds me of a brother of mine who was telling us a story of how he was in a meeting, and this is 2023, and people were discussing something that they talked about in 1992.
You see?
And they want to bring it back and tell them, guys, these things we discussed in 1992... how come you're bringing them now? Taking stock.
One of the things the function of communication is bringing out in organization is the need for proper knowledge management. In my experience as a comms professional, when I've come into the scene, I've wanted to see what is your knowledge management? What is your archiving like? Because as a storyteller, as I said, yours has to start from Otherwise, you're duplicating efforts that probably have been done in 1992, as you said.
Yes.
And it's something that can work now. And it's probably a different political atmosphere, but the same tactics.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you want to be wasting a lot of time and money on consultants when the comms person can be able to do it?
You've just introduced something called knowledge management. I know I am trained in the same, but it doesn't sound better coming from me. Thank you very much, Sally. I appreciate you making the time and looking forward to